Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to take the time and introduce some of our guests today, at least those that I know. Now, Rex, I'm assuming Nathaniel, that's your sister. But that is your sister. Okay. That means it's Rex's daughter, Alicia. I remember now, when I first moved here, I remember seeing her once. I don't think I talked to her. But, Alicia, you're most welcome today. We're thankful you're here. And over here we have Larry. Did you just move here, you said? From Gatlinburg, Tennessee. He moved from a very beautiful place to a hot guy, I guess. Gatlinburg is beautiful. I remember because I was there when I was a boy. I went to the Believe It or Not Museum. It's the first time I ever saw a two-headed cow. But, Larry, we're thankful that you're visiting. He was also here last week. And Helen, is this your mother?
My mother.
And what's her name?
Mildred.
Mildred, I can't tell you at the moment you're hiding, but we welcome you also to church this morning. And then we also have some special guests. Not that all guests are not special, but we have the King family. I forgot your first name. Jason and Jody. Jason and JJ, okay. They're our special guests because, well, they spoke in class this morning. They will be going on the mission field, I think they said, into September for 2 years in Uganda. And since our budget is tight, we are going to support them with one-time support. So next Sunday, remember this, next Sunday, I forgot what day it is, but next Sunday, the 22nd, bring extra money. I know what it's like to be a missionary, and I know what it's like not to have enough money at the mission field. And bring extra money, I say extra because it should be extra, for the King. For their trip to Uganda, they will be going for 2 years, and it sounds like they're joining a very exciting work. And Uganda is very, very poor, and that's going to be a hard work, at least with learning new culture and everything. So we wish you well in your work, but remember, what we're going to do next Sunday?
Bring extra money.
Because I know, believe me, it is no fun to be on the mission field and all of a sudden have no money. It's no fun, Charlie. So please, think about them and bring extra money. But we welcome everybody, even our members. We are most happy that you are here. Now, when Cletus preaches, 94 people. When I preach, you see what happens. But I'm most thankful that I can be here this morning and I can bring a message. I titled this, it's a long title, but I wrote here for a title, Don't Worry About Anything, But Pray and Be Thankful. How many of you have worried about something this week? Did it help? As a matter of fact, and I can give testimony to this, worrying will make you sick. It can get into the digestive system and do things it shouldn't be doing. It can make you not think about anything else. It can give you headaches. It can give you backaches. It can make you physically sick. And I'm speaking from one who knows. Worry can strangle you. As a matter of fact, do you know where that word worry comes from? It comes from what's called in the dictionary Old English. I don't know how old English is, but you know what it actually, the root means? To strangle. Isn't that not what worry does? Does not worry strangle us? Now, I've been preaching a number of Sunday mornings on a specific topic. Does anybody even remember what my specific topic has been? I didn't think so.
A heart subject,
but something that God wants us to have. And it's only in God. Joy. In John 15, Jesus gave the illustration that I am the vine. And what are you, Charlie? Charlie's a branch. I was cutting branches off my bushes yesterday. But God won't cut you off, Charlie. But I am the vine and you are the branches. If you stay in me, I will stay with you. As I am with the Father and obey the Father, if you stay in me and obey me, I will be with you always, and you will inherit eternal life. And then he says this verse, John 15:11, I have told you these things so that you can have the same joy I have, and so that your joy will be the fullest possible joy. When God created man, he made a special place for them to live, the Garden of Eden. It was designed that man live in eternity with God and in fellowship with God. But something happened to that garden. Satan destroyed what God wanted for us. And one of those major things that God wanted for us was joy. To have joy. And the only way to have joy is to be found obeying God, to be found obeying Jesus Christ. And we have seen that there are a number of things that steal joy from us. Circumstances. Circumstances can steal joy, and I'll tell you, circumstances are a tool of Satan. People. Yes, people are tools of Satan too. But how many of us have had joy robbed because of a person? I think we all have. The last couple of times we talked about things. How things in our life replace God and steal joy. But today is the worst tool of all. Worry. Worry. The Greek word that is translated in the English language as worry means to be pulled in different directions. Isn't that what worry does? It pulls us in different directions. And we already mentioned what the root word of worry is on the Old English, to be strangled. And that is exactly what worry does. It strangles away our joy. Satan is waging a war for our hearts. He wants sovereignty in our hearts, and he gets it by stealing our joy. He brings circumstances in our lives that he hopes will destroy us. Remember Job? Remember what his wife said to him? Why don't you just curse God and die? Was Satan trying to steal the joy away of life? Yes, people and things can also strangle away our joy. From the spiritual point of view, and Paul teaches this in Philippians, worry is wrong thinking and wrong feelings about circumstances, people, and things. Worry is so bad because it is an inside job. We're destroying ourselves with worry. And that is what makes it so bad. But Paul puts forth that the antidote to worry is the secure mind. A mind that is secure in Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and read Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. The chapter here is entitled, What the Christians Are to Do. My dear brothers and sisters, I love you and want to see you. You bring me joy and make me proud of you. So stand strong in the Lord as I have told you. I ask Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. And I ask you, my faithful friend, to help these women. They served with me in telling the good news, together with Clement and others who worked with me, whose names are written in the book of life. Be full of joy in the Lord always. I will say it again. Be full of joy. Let everything So let everyone see that you are gentle and kind. The Lord is coming soon. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. And God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right, and pure and beautiful and respected. Do what you learned and received from me, what I told you and what you saw me do, and the God who gives peace will be with you. If we are going to conquer worry in our lives, we need the secure mind that Paul is here talking about. And God has laid down conditions for this peace, for this joy. The first of those conditions is we must learn to pray right. He used three words here, and I'm going to take the words out of the New American Standard Bible about right praying and take all three of these for correct praying. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. All of this together make right praying. The word prayer is a general word, and it means to make requests known to the Lord. It carries the idea of adoration, devotion, and worship. Our first action in prayer should be to get alone with God and worship. That is the first step. See His greatness. See how mighty He is. And bow down before this greatness and majesty that is God's. We must realize that He can solve our problems. He is strong enough. He is mighty enough. And He cares about us. The first step in proper prayer is to worship God as God. And realize He can do it. So the next time worry comes, the first thing you should do is go to a lonely place and bow down before the mighty God and know that He is God. The first step in right praying is adoration, worship of God Almighty. Second, we saw was supplication. This is an earnest sharing of our needs and our problems with God. And I say earnest. Listen to how Jesus prayed about His problems. This is found in Hebrews 5, verse 7. In the days of His flesh, He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save Him from death. And He was heard because of His piety. He went to a lonely place and He prayed, and how? With crying and tears. He was earnest about what He was bringing to God. Supplication is not a matter of carnal energy, but spiritual intensity. We need to realize God wants to hear our problems. He wants to hear what we need. He wants us to talk with Him, and He wants us to do it earnestly and honestly. After adoration and after supplication also comes appreciation. God would like to hear thank you. You know, it's interesting. I've been trying to put this in the bulletin now. On our bulletin prayer request, what do we usually see? The problems that need addressed. But what about saying thank you when the problem was addressed? What about saying thank you to God? And if you noticed in the bulletin this morning, there was some good news from Charlie about Ed. They did a PET scan, but there was a few. There was a PET scan, and they couldn't find any cancer. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters in Christ. Lolly! Her cancer was gone. Now she's got to come back for more testing, but they could not find cancer. Do we ever think to say thank you to God? We go to Him and ask and ask and ask, but do we say thank you? Remember the 10 lepers? How many came back and thanked Jesus? One out of 10. Are we the one, or are we the 10? Of 9, excuse me. 1 minus 10 is 9. I was always weak in that. God wants to hear thank you. Just like you do when you do good and help. You will note that right praying is not something that Christians can do immediately. It does take work. It takes practice. It doesn't come naturally. If you want to be good in something, what do you got to do? Practice. Did you hear that, Stefan? If you want to be good in soccer, what do you got to do? Practice. He likes to play video machines, computers, instead of getting out there and practicing soccer. But if you want to be good at something, you practice. That comes in the spiritual realm as well, doesn't it, Cletus? Praying. What do we tend to say? Oh, I got to go to bed. A quick 3 minutes for God. That's not what Jesus did. How long did Jesus pray in the garden? Anybody remember? I think it was a couple hours, wasn't it? Have you spent a couple hours bringing your problems to God? Earnest prayer? First, we need to develop the single mind. We talked about that already. The single mind that is concentrated on Jesus Christ. And then we saw we need to develop a submissive mind, putting others second. And then we saw that we needed to learn the spiritual mind. Thinking of earthly things through heaven's eyes. How does God see things? And now we are learning today we need the secure mind. The willingness to trust and believe in the Almighty God. And that our problems are His problems when we bring them to Him. Paul counsels us to take everything to God. If you don't take the small problems to God, because they're too small, small problems develop into what? The big problems. Paul said, take everything to God. Do you want a good marriage? What are you going to do in that marriage? Communicate. Talk. That's what God wants in this relationship. Remember, the church is His bride. We are His people. We are His children. And I try to talk to Stefan every time I get a chance to. My wife too. Because if you don't have a good relationship. And God wants a relationship. And if we take even these small things to God, the Bible promises, if we do this, God's peace will come to us, and it will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. He guards them from wrong feelings and from wrong thinking. This does not mean the absence of trials and tribulations in the world, but it means we can have peace in the time of the storm. A quiet confidence, regardless of circumstances, people, or things. Remember Daniel? Daniel. Read that. Read what it says there. He had a nice, good night of sleep in the den of lions. What about King Nebuchadnezzar? Did he have a good night's sleep in his wonderful bed? The Bible says he didn't sleep at all because he was worried. Daniel was not worried, and he was the one in the lion's den. The next morning he was rested, the king was tired. Even though Daniel knew that the new law had been written, he went to pray in an upstairs room. which had windows that opened toward Jerusalem, three times each day Daniel would kneel down to pray and thank God, just as he had always done. That was what was forbidden for him to do, but he did it anyway. He was not worried about the consequences of obeying God. The first step to a secure mind to have God's peace is right praying. The right praying we saw was prayer, adoration, worship, supplication, taking everything to God, and appreciation. Learning to say thank you. Secondly, if you want a secure mind, we need right thinking. Peace involves heart and mind. Isaiah 26:3. You, Lord, give true peace to those who depend upon you because they trust you. Comes down to that. Trust. Do you trust God? That's the end point. Wrong thinking leads to wrong feelings. And before long, the heart and the mind are pulled apart in different directions, and we are strangled with worry. We must realize that thoughts are real and powerful. If you start thinking about something and thinking about something and thinking about something, you can't think about anything else. You're worried about that one thing. Thoughts are powerful. They can control us. But Paul said, we need to learn to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Does that sound like a fight? He said, to bring these thoughts into captivity. To do that, you've got to have a war. And Paul said, you need to fight wrong thinking and bring it into obedience of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. And Paul spells out in detail what right thinking is. He says, first off, whatever is true. There was a survey done in the late 70s about what people worry about. 8% of the things that people worried about were legitimate matters of concern. So what were the other 92%? Not legitimate concerns. People were worried about imaginary things. Things that could happen if this and this happened. They also thought about things that never did happen. They worried about things they couldn't have changed even if they had wanted to. Satan is a liar. He wants to corrupt our minds and he wants to corrupt our lives with his lies. And whenever we believe a lie, Satan takes over. So Paul said, think about things that are true. If you don't know if they're true or not, find out. Don't pass on gossip, find out if it's true. But whatever is true, we should think about. He also said, whatever is honest and just. This means things that are worthy of respect and things that are right. Don't think about things that are wrong. If you start thinking about how bad someone is to you, you're going to start hating them. Don't think about how bad they are. Think about that they are a lost soul who needs Jesus Christ. Think about the thought that they are made in the image of God. Think about honest and just things, things that are right. And don't focus upon dishonorable things. Don't let the dishonorable things control our minds and our thoughts. It can also be television, radio, the music we hear, the books that we read. Let's find what is pure and honest. I'm ready to make one. Whatever is pure, lovely, and a good report. These are the things we should be thinking on. And this idea of pure and lovely probably refers to moral purity. So men, that means, and I guess women too, no pornography. The computer makes it easy. We need to learn to think about things that are pure morally. And a good report means we need to talk, a good talk. By that I mean, God wants us not to tear down, but to build up. Is what you say to somebody or about somebody, will it build up or tear down? Paul said we need to concentrate on what we are speaking and doing in the world, and not concentrate on the base thinking of our world. And he says, whatever possesses virtue and praise, if it has virtue, it will motivate you to do right and to do good. And if it's worth a praise, and if it's worth praise, you will mention it to others. How many of you have a washing machine at home that you like and have told the neighbors about it? I'm sure some of you have things that you really like. You've got a washing machine at home, Alex, that you talk about? Why? Woo! I didn't even know you knew that your mama had a washing machine. Because what you say is going to build up and be worthwhile? Are you going to talk about the good things in life that God has done for you and not tear down evil? The Christian who fills his mind and his heart with God's Word will have a built-in radar for detecting wrong thoughts. If you never read the Bible, you're not going to know what's right or wrong. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 165. Yeah, that's right. Psalm 119, a bunch of verses. And I'm going to read verse 165 of Psalm 119. That is the longest book, the longest chapter in the Bible. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Who has great peace? Those who love your law. So if you love the laws of God, what is that going to mean? You're going to look at them and study them and meditate upon them. Right thinking, brothers and sisters, is a result of daily meditation upon the Word of God, for this brings peace. Do you want some peace in your life? Start reading. Not just reading, meditating and thinking about what God has to say. Third and last condition of a secure mind, right living. You cannot separate outward action from inward attitude. Isaiah 32:17. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I hope you heard both of these talk about how we live as Christians. Right living is a necessary condition for experiencing God's peace. It's needed. Paul balances four activities: learned and received, heard and seen. It is one thing to learn a truth, but quite another to put it in your heart and do it. I heard a lot of stuff in school. Most of it I've forgotten since then. But a few things I learned, I practiced. Believe it or not, I learned to brush my teeth properly in school, and I still up and down and you know, the way you're supposed to, according to the business people. But listen to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So did they just hear that word? No, they let it work effectively in their life. Facts in the head are not enough. We must have truths in the heart. Because what's in your heart is what you're going to do. Paul not only taught this, but James. Now James brought it in the negative way. James asked a question. He wanted to know why there were wars among them. And we're going to see, if you go back, he said, because you're thinking wrong, you're praying wrong, and you're doing wrong. The same three points that Paul makes. James said, do what God's teaching says. When you only listen and do nothing, you are fooling yourself. James 1:22. Paul, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking. Because you were all called together in one body to have peace. Always be thankful. But he said once again, let the peace control your thinking. If we are walking with the Lord, then the peace of God will be with us. It will influence our lives, our speaking, and our doing. There is no middle ground. Either we yield our hearts to the mind, our minds to the control of the Spirit of God, and we practice right praying, right thinking, and right living, or we yield ourselves to the flesh, and we'll get ripped apart by worry. The choice is ours. Jesus himself, taught that worrying was sin. Because it tells God that we don't trust him. These things are all in Jesus Christ. Would you like to have this peace? This is your mind. It is only to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in trusting him and in obeying him. In John 3:5, Jesus told Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. Unless one is born from water and the Spirit, he cannot enter God's kingdom. If you are not yet a part of God's kingdom, if you have not yet experienced the peace and joy to be found in him, then come as we stand and as we sing.